My congratulations to the graduates today. It's our pleasure to have seen you guys grow up and hopefully go on to bigger and better things. A couple of them I have some questions about, but we won't get into that. Just kidding. All great kids. I'm very aware that the sermon has already been preached. Mike, thank you for sharing that. What a tremendous word. I believe that Mike and Myra and their family are walking sermons. And we love you guys. If you would turn with me to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. These are the words of our Savior Jesus Christ, and beginning in verse 35, Matthew 24, 35. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch, would not have let his house be broken into. So also you must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect him." Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, speak this morning, Father. Speak in power and authority. And transform us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I am continuing answering your questions that you submitted a couple of months ago, and doing that through the series Truth Matters. Truth Matters. Today is the end near. How many of you were? I had one this morning saying, "I really want to hear what you had to say this morning about it." Anybody kind of curious what we're going to talk about this morning? Is the end near? Now, a couple of illustrations I want to lay out for you. Now, this one was actually just given to me last night. Okay, I was Cheryl and I were enjoying the home cooking of Arliss and Terry Wright. It was a wonder. They invited us over for supper, and it was wonderful, Terry. Very, very good. It was really wonderful. She made these chicken breasts smothered in this sauce, and it was so good, and it had a slice of squash on the top, you know, and I'm enjoying that, and we had broccoli and all of these things, and it was just potatoes, and all. It was really good, Terry. It's really good. And I remember eating everything, and I had this slice of squash on top of the chicken. I'm kind of saving that, you know. So about three-fourths of the way through the meal, I slide that little piece of squash out, and I cut it, and I'm thinking, that's a tough piece of squash. I'm kind of sawing through this squash and everything, and I cut it into pieces, and I take me a big old bite of this squash, and it was lemon chicken, by the way. That wasn't squash. She disguised it. It was smothered. It was a big old hunk of lemon. And I asked myself the question at that moment, is the end near? I'm still tasting that lemon, by the way. Hours later, I'm tasting that chicken. And I had another thing this week that came home, and y'all all know my wife, mild-mannered Cheryl, just lovely Cheryl, you know. You're all wondering how she puts up with me. I know how you work. I came home, and Cheryl, she likes to garden, and she loves her flowers and everything. Well, she has this yellow hibiscus. I'll show you in just a moment about that. But does anybody remember Jim Croce, the artist Jim Croce? And he sang this song back in the 70s that you don't tug on Superman's cape and you know all that stuff. You don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull the mask off the old Lone Ranger. And you don't mess with Cheryl's hibiscus. that is a yellow hibiscus. Now, I didn't even know a flower had a throat, but it has a red throat, I've been made to understand. And I came home and I found out that our puppies, these two little puppies, had dug up her hibiscus. And they had muddy little paws, and so it was kind of like they were caught red-handed, in other words. And this hibiscus had been dug out of the pot, and Mama wasn't happy. And I asked myself the question, is the end near? So you may have all of these different times that you ask yourself that. Has anybody else noticed what our earth is doing? What's going on in our earth with earthquakes? I didn't even know did anybody else know what a tsunami was before? Was it the first one here a few years ago? Was it India that it hit? Had anybody besides me never heard of a tsunami before that? Tidal waves? Well, I've heard of tidal waves. They were talking about this tsunami that hit, and I was like, what's a tsunami? I don't even know what that is. And so we've had several of them since then, and maybe that's what it is. Maybe I just knew them by another name. But in our region, we've got wildfires just going crazy all the time, and there's earthquakes, and there's tornadoes and all of these things. It just maybe it's just me, but it seems like things really are kind of crazy right now. And we've got the war on terror. We've got all kinds of craziness going on in our world. And it seems to me that something's up. I don't know. I'm not here this morning to do any sort of predicting, but I just my spirit tells me something's up. You have probably seen the billboards around town. Anybody seen the billboards around town regarding May the 21st? Where did I put that? We had I think I put it over here. We had a young lady in our church. Well, maybe I'm not supposed to. There it is. That went to the Rose Bowl this year. And they were passing out flyers at the Rose Bowl this year. The end of the world is almost here. Holy God will bring Judgment Day on May the 21st, 2011. Now, that's Saturday. That's Saturday. Did you know that? So, that's Saturday. Well, have you seen our sign out front? We're just in case we're going to go ahead and plan services next week. I'm just on the chance that we're all still here. But I have found that people seem to be infatuated with end of times talk. Is anybody else? Sunday school teachers, now you guys, I bet you can tell me, if you were to open it up to your class and say, what book of the Bible would you like to, guys like to study? What book, 99 times out of 100, what book is it going to be? Revelations. There's this curiosity in us, isn't there? We want to talk about that. So I want us to look at God's Word today and see what God's Word has to say about the end of time. First is, God's Word says that only the Father knows when. Now, I've read, if you can read all about this guy. His name is Harold Camping that has predicted this. And I've tried to read about him and read what he's saying and try to make sense of it and see if he has any sort of basis whatsoever. And it's just, he's grabbing at straws, guys. He's just grabbing at straws. In a nutshell, he's basically saying that when when God told Noah to get into the ark, he said, in 7 days, I'm going to bring a flood. And there's going to be destruction on the earth. That's so he points back to that in 7 days. Well, then in 2 Peter chapter 3, it says that a day to the Lord is like 1,000 years. So Mr. Camping has taken those two verses and he said, okay, well, 7 days, and if a day is like 1,000 years, then 7,000 years from the day that God told Noah that, from the day he brought the flood on the ark, that is May the 21st, 2011. And so to him, that must be the end of time. Must be the end of everything. But God's word says very clearly, and I've only listed three verses here. You can read it in many, many places in God's word. Only the Father knows when. Not even Jesus. Jesus himself said, even the Son doesn't know, nor the angels in heaven. Only the Father knows. Matthew 24. Jesus in Acts chapter 1, before he was ascended back to heaven, before he sent the Holy Spirit, he said to his disciples, it is not for you to, they're asking, when is all this going to happen? When are you going to restore the kingdom? And he says, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set up by his own authority. In 1 Thessalonians, now, brothers, about times and dates we don't need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. We will not know, only the Father knows. So that's the first thing God's word tells. The second thing God tells us is that things will get worse. We know that our world will, it'll get bad. It'll get bad, and these things will be pointing to the end. We may not know exactly when, church, but we can read signs. We can know that it's coming. We can know that it will be soon. Listen to just again a few of these scriptures, and I've listed them there for you. But in 2 Timothy, Paul writes to his disciple Timothy, he says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. Now I want you to, as I read this, see if this sounds a little bit like what our culture is today. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That certainly doesn't sound like our society. Having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. He's describing a world out of control. He's describing sin beginning to get some momentum. And you can read the others. And Jesus goes on to say in Matthew 24 that there will be wars. There will be rumors of wars. Nations will rise against nation. There will be famines and earthquakes and so on and so forth. A world that seems to be tumbling out of control. We understand these things will happen. So what else does God's word say about the end? The third thing it says is for us, for God's people, to stay grounded and to stay busy. God has given us a mission, church, to share the love of Christ, to share the love of Christ, to share the hope of Christ. I can't, and Mike, you said it this morning, how does anybody make it through the things this life throws at them without Christ? And so it's not enough for us to know Christ and to have that hope. Did you realize there's hopeless people all around us? And Allison, you very eloquently upstairs talked about children come to you guys with no hope. And you guys love them and give them the hope of Christ. God wants us to, it says in Acts chapter 1 again, as Jesus is preparing to ascend to heaven, he says, but you, church, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. He's telling us to press on. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Give them hope. Fourth thing God's word tells us about the end. Keep watch and be ready. You know, it's kind of ironic that I'm preaching about the end, because did you know I don't think about it? I don't think about it. I don't... I've told Cheryl a few times, like, man, things are just crazy. Things are crazy. And God is up to something. And one of the phrases that I use sometimes, especially when I hear all the just the craziness in our culture, I just say, we're getting too big for our britches. Did you know it? We're getting too big for our britches as the human race. And I know that God will put up with that for a time. He's shown in Scripture. He'll put up with it for a time. But there will come a time when he says, enough. I want to remind you that I am God. And God's Word tells us in this passage that we read today that we as God's people are to keep watch and be ready. Keep watch and be ready, sharing with those the hope of Jesus Christ. Now, the question out of that comes to my mind is how do we stay ready? How are we ready? And it comes back, church, to the basic gospel. I know that it's easy for me to say this because I'm not facing a terminal illness or I'm not facing imminent death or anything like that. But in my heart of hearts, I'm just not afraid of dying. I'm not afraid of dying. I don't think about it. If it happens to me and I'm taken suddenly and tragically, it won't be tragically for me. I just want to tell you, I don't fret dying because I have the assurance in my spirit. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know that I know that I know. His Spirit has made testimony to my spirit that I have eternal life in Christ Jesus. Do you have that? I'm being bold, but I would wager to say that some of us this morning don't have that in this room. We don't have that peace. Maybe we were brought up in the church. Maybe we weren't brought up in the church. Maybe we've heard that all of our life, for the first 30 years of my life, I honestly thought it was about being good. Did you know it's not about being good? It's about being holy. And we can't be holy without the blood of Christ. That's the only way we're made holy. So how we keep watch and how we make ourselves ready is, and I want to give you this. This is something you can take with you and utilize this. The ABCs of being ready. The first thing is, to acknowledge our sinfulness before a holy God. See, that message right there, just there, that by itself doesn't play in our culture. We don't like that. We don't like someone telling us that we actually have a God who is holy and righteous and we're not, and we must fall on our face and in repentance before Him. That message doesn't play in our culture. But that's how we are made ready, church. That's how it doesn't matter when the end comes. I tell you what, if it comes Saturday, I'm good. If it comes Saturday, I'm good. If Mr. Camping is right, I'm good. Are you good? I don't think he's right, because the Word Word tells us that no one will know but the Father. Acknowledge your sinfulness before a holy God. A. B. Believe that Jesus has saved you from your sin. You see, this, and I'm reminded of the story of the prodigal son. And you've heard me say it, and it's that word that you've probably never heard come from the pulpit before. But the prodigal son went out and squandered what the gifts the father had given him, and he found himself covered in pig poop. And he repented right there in the pig pen. He repented. He says he came to his senses and he returned home to the Father because he knew, he believed in his heart that at the Father's house, there's forgiveness. There's mercy at my Father's home. And so he returned home. He believed that he had been saved. Do we believe that Jesus has saved us from our sin? And the third thing, the C, is to confess that Jesus is Lord and Savior. Lord means He's in control of every component of our lives. To be Lord, we don't say, well, yeah, you can, you know, but with royalty and all, you don't say, well, yeah, I'll surrender my loyalty to you, King, for everything except my marriage. You can have control of everything, but no, you can have control of everything but my checkbook, Lord. You can have control of everything but that anger, that unforgiveness that I have. You can have everything else but that. No, Lord means that we fall before Him and we say, you are in control of my life, every component of my life. We acknowledge our sinfulness. We believe that Jesus has saved us from our sin, and we confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Church, I don't know when the end's coming. It's coming. It's coming. And it's not, many of us may not be here when the end comes on earth, but the end comes for all of us, doesn't it? The end comes for all of us. Are you ready? That's the question before us this morning. If you'd bow your heads in prayer. If you just bow your heads and close your eyes for just a minute, I am going to pray what many would call the sinner's prayer, the prayer that we pray when we come to this place where we confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior, when we confess our brokenness before Him. I'm going to pray that prayer, and if you've done that before, then let it be, and I challenge you, let that be a renewal of your faith in Jesus Christ. If you've done it before, but you know that it maybe that it was mom and dad just wanting to please mom and dad or wanting to please a spouse or whatever, and it really wasn't real, but you want it to be real, then pray it in your heart for the very first time. And if you've never prayed it at all, and you've never understood it, and the Holy Spirit is convicting you this morning that Jesus loves you. If that's you, then pray this in your heart for the very first time as I read through this prayer. Jesus, I confess that I am a sinner. And I repent of my sin. I believe that you are the only Son of God. I believe that you lived a sinless life and that you died in order that I might live. I believe, Jesus, that you were resurrected on the third day, just like you said you would be. I confess with my mouth that you are Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised you, Jesus, from the dead. I ask you to wash me white as snow. I ask you to come into my heart and make me whole. Because of your grace and your mercy, I will no longer live in fear of the future. In your strong name, I pray. Amen. Keep your head bowed for just a second. If you prayed that prayer, as everybody's heads are bowed and eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, just raise your hand real quick. Amen. Amen. Okay, thank you. Amen. You can all lift your head. If your hand went up just a moment ago, I really encourage you at the end of the service to come and visit with me. Come and visit with me. You need to tell somebody what's going on, what God is doing in your heart. Let's stand as we close this morning. When the end's coming, but we know it's coming. We have the hope of Jesus Christ. Do you have the hope of Jesus Christ? Go and tell someone. Share that hope. In Jesus' name, we are dismissed.